We gotta take him.
Dwayne, you're a psychopath.
Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast.
Yeah, that's very good.
All right, first off, shout out to Byron Falk and the Halftime Cowboys.
We got that hitter, huh?
Going on a Western Canadian tour starting
tonight.
Tonight, yeah, they're playing Altona tonight.
Yeah.
How about that?
Your old pal Ryan Funk is there.
Yeah,
he's Ryan Funk.
Ryan Funk from New Bothwell, Manitoba.
On that steely, huh? That steely.
That steel guitar. That pedal steel, huh?
Yeah, he had that hitter there.
Get in there!
Oh, man! Yeah, I got that hitter on, huh?
Yeah, you're wearing that tarp, son.
I got that. It's comfy.
I bet.
In the words of Byron Falk himself, that's the good shit. And that's what he told me last night.
I believe him.
So if any of you guys follow Dwayne or myself on Snapchat, you'd posted a couple stories this season.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't post anything to Instagrams.
You know what? Maybe
should have.
I took a couple of videos. Maybe I'll throw a video or two onto the Flatlands Instagrams tonight or tomorrow and shout out Byron and
we'll put a picture of this hitter up on.
I'm gonna take that picture right meow.
Well,
look alive, son. Gang.
How'd that turn out, huh?
I'll pull it up for you right
all
now.
All right, yeah. Like, make sure I don't look like an
outlaw. Oh, you look like a
delinquent.
You look like a...
Oh, that's it there. That's that hitter.
That's that Tinder profile right there.
Wait, son. Man.
How do you feel about online dating?
Oh,
How about that segue, huh?
All right, that was a good start. Man, that's a tough one. Because, I mean, I don't want to say I've had success on Tinder, because I mean, clearly I haven't. I ain't no wedding ring on that left hand, Eddie.
Well, we don't have to specify just Tinder, but
there's
about 38 different ones.
Yeah, yeah. I met my
probably more than that.
My current girlfriend online. I think it's becoming a way in the future.
It still seems like the easy way out. And
I would agree.
I'm on there too. It just doesn't work for me. Apparently.
Well, it's difficult. Like, it's... The thing is, we had a chance to talk with a buddy of yours, a guy I went to high school with, Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie Conrad.
Yeah. He's a teacher. Yeah. So he's on the front lines of this new generation.
He's a grade 2 teacher.
Yeah, he's on the front lines.
Yeah.
He's doing the thing. He's doing the damn thing.
He's doing it. He's out there. He's working.
And one of the things he mentioned to us last night was that... you know, these kids don't know how to interact with each other or play or whatever. And I think...
And it's all about the instant gratification.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, like, when it comes to online dating, I feel like our generation, maybe not all of us, but for the most part, a big number of our generation has gotten lazy where... I brought this up last night. I had read a study, and I for the life of me, I can't remember where I found it. It was probably on a Facebook article. Where
McLean's
probably wasn't McLean's, probably
Huffington Post,
Buzz Now, or something. One of
BuzzFeed,
yeah, one of those kind of.
That's a bit of a
sticky scenarios.
I would have to vet that.
Yeah. Anyways, well, it wasn't BuzzFeed, but it was like a Men's Health maybe or something.
Oh, even worse.
Yeah, it was just it was an actual study done, but it was posted through a different account. And anyways, they had said that I think it was 40 years ago or 30 years ago, the average time between
when you broke up
with somebody to when you started dating was like anywhere from 8 months to a year and 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's an average of 3 weeks,
yeah,
which I think is sickening.
Because it's everybody has that first overall draft pick for the next draft waiting in the wings.
Yeah, like there's always the roster.
Yeah.
Right? There's always that roster.
There's that practice roster.
And, you know,
waiting to be called up, you know, NFL style, whatever.
Absolutely, you're waiting for the call from the GM saying, "Hey, get your butt to the big leagues."
We got your sweater sewn up here.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, suit up.
Yeah,
as Barney Stinson would say.
What's that? That fella from Toronto there?
Oh, the David Ayers.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the situation. They're actually changing that whole thing. That whole emergency backup.
Why?
Because a lot of GMs feel like it was an embarrassment to the league. But it's just an embarrassment to Toronto. Like,
really, yeah.
You know,
I'm a Toronto fan. I'm a born and bred Toronto fan. Like,
yeah.
I don't even care. Like, good for him.
Well, the thing is,
that's
like,
cool. I like that.
There's two trains of thought I have on that. Maybe let's touch on them after. Let's talk about this online.
Oh yeah, let's get back.
Let's get back to that. We'll talk about David Ayres because that's big news.
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool scenario.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I think online dating, it's easy to find somebody you can vibe with because it's easy to. And I hate that I just said that set of words. It's easy to say something through a screen. It's easy to.
It's so easy.
Talk a big game or talk shit or you know what I mean. It's
yeah,
when you're typing.
Talk yourself up.
And you've had some experience in the face-to-face game a little more these days,
yeah.
Than staying on the online. You know, you're out there doing things. You're
just trying to get out there and meet new people. Exactly, and that, folks, is
the truth. That's up on the wall right there.
That's the truth hitter.
That's on that board right there. Something I look at every day.
Oh, yeah, it says nothing changes if nothing changes, and that we can credit Theo Von with that quote.
Hell yeah, bro, gang shit,
get it there. Trying to do that more quietly now, so because
yeah.
I don't want to bust. I'm feeling bad for Reg and Randy. They keep busting their eardrums. They say so.
Has Randy said it too? I haven't heard him say it. I know it's Reg. He's our number one. I would safe to say he might be our number one fan, but also our number one hater too.
I think so.
Not that we hate Reg.
Big shout out to the Two Idiots podcast,
as always. Yeah, great deal they run over there.
Yeah. We'll circle back to that once we're done with our online dating.
Yeah. How do you feel about online dating?
Have
you had some success in the past?
Yes, I have.
Like, I mean, obviously, we're neither married.
Nor divorced.
Nor divorced, yeah. But I mean, now, let me ask you this. How do you measure success on Tinder? Or online dating?
Well, okay.
Not just bash on Tinder. Because there's 92 of them on there now.
Yeah. Let's just say success as actually meeting up multiple times.
So more than one date.
Yeah, and like actually starting to form something, right?
Yeah.
And I have had the success, that success.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know, I guess I just haven't met the right type of lady on there that's made me want to carry through with it. And any time I've actually had some better success has been in a face-to-face altercation.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say altercation.
Altercation, that sounds, yeah, it sounds like you might be in a Donnybrook.
Sounds like I'm getting my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Just being face-to-face. And you know what? In my opinion, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with online dating. I still, even though I do it, or I try to do it, that might be the better way to say it. I try to. I feel like it's an easy way out, per se.
Yeah, I would agree.
But it is still effective. I know some people that got married off of the internet.
Yeah.
Well, and they're doing just fine.
You know, with the wave of technology we've had, even in the last 10 years, you think about it, like long gone are the days that you and your buddies on Friday night went, hit the ATM, got cash, and went to the bar looking for love.
Well, I wouldn't say long gone.
Well, but I mean far more gone than
Because
even 30 years ago,
if you do go to the bar, then the girls are standing there on their cell phones or
the old saying that I heard growing up was never meet a girl at the bar. You'll never find the love of your life in a bar, which some people did. I mean, whatever, it is what it is. But you know what I mean? That was the saying. You don't go to the bar looking for love.
You go to the bar looking for
lust.
Yeah.
You're trying to get that. Leche duffels. Them cookies. But now it's
fresh baked buns, huh?
Yeah. Oh, heck. Get in there!
Get that.
Yeah, no, so like
1811.
Pico Boulevard.
On the way to the beach.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that, and they're not a sponsor, but if you guys are in California.
If you're in Los Angeles, huh?
Yeah, go on your way to the beach.
On your way to the beach, 1811 Pico Boulevard.
That's a Grey Block Pizza, and that's that hitter.
Get that hitter, huh?
Get that hitter. But yeah, I think, you know, online dating, it definitely has its place. It's just another avenue. It's no longer so much about going to the bars and, this is going to sound really bad at me, but going to the bars, getting a lady drunk, and taking her home. You know, that was the thing, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago. That's what kind of what you did, right? And you woke up in the morning, and then you guys figured out what was going on.
5 years ago.
Well, okay. I would say even 5 years ago, it wasn't a big of a thing. But I also feel like, you know, with there being so many different platforms out there, you know, whether
it's kind of like if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right?
Yeah, like
because there's more... fellas and ladies that are spending time on there and doing less face to face. Sometimes you just, maybe you just run out of options. Like,
well, yeah. And I mean,
you know, you almost have to take a gander online. Right?
Well, yeah. And like, I think about, you know, for me, one of the big reasons I started the whole online dating thing, which makes me sound like I'm 40 and divorced or, you know, I'm not a spouse guy. I started because I am generally a very busy person. You know, I work anywhere from 100 to 140 hours every 2 weeks. And that's not a flex really at all. And then side work. Yeah, that ice is just not treating
this
you well.
This ice tray is not my friend.
Yeah, there's two of them there that do not do that hot.
Just mixing a good old rye.
Good old... You got that hat hitter. We got to post that on the ground, too.
I got a free toque today. I bought a 2.6 at Canadian Club, and it came with a toque. So that's why I bought it.
That says over beer on it. Question mark.
I saw that on a... It's like, oh, if you're over beer, drink Club.
Yeah. I get it. Like, over commercial. Beer? Yeah, it's... I get it. So, yeah, for me, I was just busy. And it was easier, you know... Sounds bad, but I could meet people at work, right? I could match with... You can almost tailor your preferences to exactly what you like. You know, you want a 5'4", blonde, blue-eyed bombshell.
Thick Tiffany.
With them double dribble kneecaps. You can... Get it! You can just swipe left till you find one of them bad matches, and then you're swiping right and trying to chase some tail. But also...
On the internet.
Also, another thing it does, which I do actually appreciate, is it gives you the chance to... kind of get to know somebody a little bit before you meet them. It's not like a blind date where you gotta ask all the really awkward questions. Oh, do you have any allergies? You can kind of talk and figure out if this person can hold a conversation. Which is one thing I appreciate.
Once you start doing that a bunch of times, it is so nice to get back to face to face and just bang it out.
Without banging it out, just
do that like awkward stuff face to face and embrace it.
Oh, totally.
And that is,
but I mean, you can get kind of the gist of a person. Like, hey,
gist of a person?
I say gist.
I'd say gist.
Yeah, well, you also said cool man. That's just really a delinquent term.
I said both.
Cooler. You gotta tighten it up over there, daddy. Anywho,
I kick you off this thing.
One day.
You want to talk about wind chill, bro?
Oh, you want to talk about wind chill? We're gonna start that again. Huh?
You want to get into it?
No, but yeah, no. There's just a difference between the two of us there. Where I would say I say both of them. I say just and gist. Anywho, tomato tomato.
Online dating, in-person dating.
I mean, do what works for you.
Yeah, try both.
Yeah.
There's no harm in trying.
You might fall in love while you're at the grocery store looking over a, you know, a fresh tenderloin, and that woman, she might come up and say, well...
Why are you looking at me this way?
This fella might... Well, I was talking about a legit tenderloin. Mm. She might come up to you and just say, hey, you might be able to grill meats. Some ladies like that you can cook. You know, they say, that's a provider right there.
I've been known to cook a bit.
You, especially in the last few years.
Yeah,
you really picked up the cooking, man.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah. It's one thing that as a man, it's kind of not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing to admit, but it's such a nice thing to be able to know how to do. Like I made a nice little
dinner. What'd you make here tonight?
I made a little stuffed chicken. So I did some hams. So I got that pork hitter. I did hams, mozzarella. If you're Italian, that's mozzarella.
Okay.
For a little cheese hitter. Now, not everybody can have it because they're lacking toes. And then, yeah, you ever heard that joke?
Yeah.
Heard that joke. That's a good one.
That's me for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you got that adult onset lactose, huh?
Yeah.
Just that.
That hitter, man.
Your gut just said no more.
I could do it, but it's not pleasant.
No, it's a rough night.
I'll pick and choose when I do it.
Yeah. Like if you know you're at home alone the next day, you might gamble on some cheddar. On a little sharp cheddar.
Yeah. Or a tall glass of that
white goodness. Yeah, so I made some stuffed chicken, some baby potats. Get that because you got to get that potassium in. Potatoes have potassium, right? Did we ever figure that out?
I think potatoes have potassium. I think you think
it kind of sounds like the name. I know bananas have that potassium.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure potatoes have potassium as well.
And then there's some asparagus.
Asparagus, yeah.
So it was pretty good. And, love that. But it's a nice trait to have. You know, women, they enjoy that. Not having to have the gender role, per se.
Well, hey, if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy.
Keep sticking, guys.
I'm pulling for you. We're all in this together.
Amen.
So
PTL, boy. That's red green.
I had a question.
Sure.
From the two idiots.
All right.
They wanted us to explain what hitter means.
Oh, that's just...
It's like, you can't even really explain it.
There's really no... How do you explain grabbing?
It's like, hey...
How do you explain that?
It's like, hey, you want to go to the hockey game? Yeah, let's get that hitter, boy.
Get that hitter. And that's one of them double entendres. Because people are going to get hit in the game, but you're also getting that hitter. And we're not talking bong hitters or drug paraphernalia hitters.
No, either. We're not talking like that. We're not delinquents.
We're not real degenerates even.
We're not talking about delinquent limb chickens, huh?
No, which was a good episode. You did well. I was really impressed. You're a good...
Could you tell I was getting annoyed at some parts?
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's part of...
I stopped caring. I was like, well, I'm getting annoyed.
Well, I mean, you're kind of...
As I'm getting older, I care less about hiding an emotion. Like, I'll just show it.
That's good.
Be like,
okay. Just don't go to the extreme of it.
No.
Because I've been known to... Wearing your heart on your sleeve is a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. But also, to be fair, you're also kind of used to doing it with me.
Yeah.
No jealousy coming from that. Just so you know.
It was kind of fun to shake things up.
Absolutely. You know, that was one thing that I enjoyed about the deep freeze too, is that it was just different.
Mm-hmm.
It had a different vibe to it because, which there is episodes coming.
I thought we were going to record a deep freeze tonight and then you said Flatland, so.
Well,
okay, we'll do Flatlands.
We have talked about some upgrades we're making.
Yeah. Oh, I ordered that today.
Right on. You got to let me know what that change come out to.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
So anyways, yeah, we're upgrading some equipment. So I am kind of waiting for that.
Okay.
Before I really shoot one, because I kind of want to have that all figured out.
Okay. So I'll have to produce it then.
No.
Yeah.
No, you won't. I have other equipment that I have purchased.
You have a computer?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It should be here tonight, actually.
Where'd you get it from?
A source.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so... Yeah, I
good.
Want a cheap little laptop.
Good.
Just something that I can kind of fart around.
I bought this one refurbished online.
Really? How much did you pay for this rig?
$300.
Oh, that's a deal.
Yeah. It's worked good.
Yeah, man.
I need to buy a new battery, but...
Minor details.
How often are you not connected from power? Batteries go.
And how often are you really not that far from power?
Exactly.
Plug in right now.
Yeah.
That hitter is just kind of a... It's like...
It's just a term.
But it's also something you want to do. Like an excited thing. Like, you know, last night when we were headed to the Byron Falcon the Halftime Cowboys show...
Check them out.
Yeah, you can find Byron.
Byron Falk. At Byron Falk.
Is it at Byron Falk?
Yeah. Get that hitter.
Yeah, so.
Get that hitter.
He played, I liked his set. Also, that kid that was on before him, Jackson.
Shout out to that kid, man.
Woo! He had a very unique voice.
Yeah.
I'll say that. He didn't sound like anybody I had heard before.
He was heavy on the blues, which was kind of cool.
He did a Stapleton tune right opening, which, I mean,
that's ballsy.
to go with a Stapleton tune out of the gate.
And he threw a blues twist on it, which was kind of cool.
Which is neat,
I was not expecting that.
I mean, Chris Stapleton, he is a little more rockish, though. Like, he's, like, with the way his voice is. He could sing a Shine Down song, no problem.
See, I'm used to hearing him sing in his bluegrass band, the Steel
Drivers.
That's
fair, yeah. That's fair. See, I'm not. But I would say, like, when I hear Chris Stapleton, as much as he is a bluegrass singer, he could throw him on a Shine Down track.
Then again, he also does have a rock band called the Johnson Brothers.
Oh, really?
And
I didn't know that.
They bang it out, boy.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, what I'm saying
it's
is
like
this.
Good Southern rock.
That kid killed it.
Oh,
for the four songs he performed,
unreal. Yeah.
You can find him on Spotify.
Jackson.
Okay.
Jackson. That's his name on there.
And you can find Byron Falk, who's newly on Spotify.
Yeah.
At Byron Falk and the Halftime Cowboys. Or actually, I think it's just Byron Falk.
Byron Falk, yeah.
Because I followed him yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
Pull up this Jackson fella. Oh, check out his song Breathe It In by Jackson.
It was good.
It was good.
I was really impressed by that.
Yeah.
The sound there was actually really good for being an old walk-in clinic.
Well, that was the physio side.
But I mean, in the old walk-in clinic in Steinbach, the sound was tight.
Mm-hmm. Toit.
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 The toitest.
Toitest.
It was a great time.
It was.
If you guys get the chance to check out Byron Falk or Jackson, check them out.
He's from Kenora, he said.
He's from Kenora. We talked about yesterday about how Steinbach doesn't really have a place like that. Like a high and lonesome club. Times changed. Kind of deal. You know what I mean? A place where you could get local musicians and just get them together and play a couple sets. Like, you know, with the amount of musicians that come out of Steinbach and area,
mm-hmm.
it's incredible. Like,
well, Byron's from Pansy.
Byron's grew up, you know, a couple miles from where I grew up. You know, we got that B Post, Brandon Post.
Yeah.
He's a hell of an artist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a handful of other bands, which I can't name at this time because they're not kind of the music that I listen to. But
Stop, Drop, and Burn.
Burn Your World. That was Mike Noctigal.
Not familiar with his work.
I stuck with him.
Okay.
They were like heavy screen.
Well, Quentin Blair is local.
QB. He's from your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing a show tonight at the Met.
Yeah, we were supposed to be there, but instead it's...
Plans fell through.
Instead I bought a bottle of rye.
And we're talking into a computer.
Yeah. So, how about that?
That's just par for the course. If that isn't a call for help, I don't know what it is. David Harris.
Ka-ka, ka-ka.
Sent bird.
Ka-ka.
David Harris, huh?
Yeah. So what did you... Okay, here's my question. What did you think? Did you watch the highlights or the game?
Just the highlights.
Okay, so what did you think of...
Honestly, I didn't. I saw one highlight at the end of the game where he caught the puck and it was the end of the game.
Okay. So let me backtrack this for you. First two shots go in.
On him?
On him. First two shots he faced. He was 0 for 2.
I mean, he's under a lot of pressure.
Then went 10 for 10.
Yeah, okay.
After that point in the third period. So what's your opinion on the whole emergency backup goalie thing? Because everybody seems to have an opinion, and especially you being a diehard Toronto fan.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. Like, that's... You remember those old MasterCard commercials? I'm going to the NHL! You know, that Zamboni driver back in the day where, like, all of a sudden he gets his shot?
It's been a minute since I thought about those.
And, like, both of the Hurricanes goalies went down with injury, okay? Well, who are you going to call? Not the Ghostbusters. You got to find a backup goalie. kudos to them for finding David Harris. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, he's just a Zamboni driver. But, I have no problems with a team calling up a backup goalie in an emergency like that. Like
just out a of the standard blue. Guy.
Yeah. If there's a local guy in the barn that plays goalie, why
sign
not?
Sign up to a contract, yeah.
Why not? pay him a few bucks and let him have it. Like, I don't see a problem with that.
No, I totally agree. I think, like, so...
Like, you're not expecting him to have a contract to play on the team, yada, yada.
Well, but he is, though.
Is he going with the team now?
No, no. So, how that works, how this works is NHL teams hold tryouts usually, let's say, in spring. Okay, beginning of spring. Kind of before the season really kicks off. Maybe end of... I guess maybe summer they'll do it. Anyway, actually, there's a guy I played hockey with, Trav4Oilers. You can find him on YouTube and Instagram, I believe, at Trav4Oilers. He tried out for the LA Kings. He got a professional, a PTO. So what they do is they try out and they sign amateur goalies, whether it be beer league, professional, semi-pro, whatever it is. They sign them to basically a contract for 41 games of the year. So... In David Arias' case, he gets 41 tickets to the Leafs games. Now, he's a Zamboni driver, so he's there every night. But what they'll do is they put him in a press box. They give you free tickets, and they say, you have to bring your equipment. So you get there an hour before, you bring your equipment, you throw it in the locker room, or beside the locker room, you go up.
Yeah.
You're watching the game. So now, in David Arias' case, James Reimer, who, again, good buddy of mine, real cool story. Boy. Yeah, from Morawina. Real cool story with him.
That is stiff.
So he goes down with an injury after getting taken out by his own player.
Classic.
Peter Mrazek comes in, gets absolutely run over by a Toronto player.
Par for the course.
And now, so after James Reimer gets hurt and it's determined that he's not coming back, he cannot play, David Ayers would have suited up. Yeah. And would have kind of waited in the tunnel. They wouldn't have brought him to the bench.
Waiting in the wings.
Yeah. So now Peter Mrazek gets hurt. They give him a jersey, say, get in there! Get in there! And so he skates out. Doesn't even know what net he has to go to. Starts skating towards the wrong net. They're like, no, other way, daddy. We're going the wrong way! Turn around! And then... well, it's in the first two shots. But now, ever since this whole thing, that's that hitter.
That's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, right there. That's that two-finger rule, like that. And if you can't see it, I got
rock
my,
on.
I got my pinky.
You got that rock index. On.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm at a rock concert in the 80s.
You got that rock on level hitter.
So now, what the general managers are worried about is that, because it was such an embarrassment to the league, but I have a little bit of a different view on it. Look at the Vegas Golden Knights. Their first season in the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
They were dynamite.
What happened? They went to the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah. And every GM in the league was crying. We have to change the rules on how they draft, how they do the lottery, because they're getting all these star players, this and that, yada, yada, yada.
They didn't get the star players. They got who teams didn't want to keep.
Or couldn't afford to keep.
Like, we all know that Pittsburgh kind of wanted to get rid of Fleury.
Oh, they did. They had Matt Murray.
Yeah.
But what, like what
Fleury I'm saying was already second fiddle.
Every GM was crying about it. What happened the very next year in Vegas?
Yeah.
They tanked. It was written in the stars. It was fate. But whether you believe in fate or not, it was fate. That Vegas would draft the team they did. They would click as well as they did. Like, you couldn't have written a better story.
Like,
besides them winning the cup.
Those guys must have been so loose that first year.
Yeah.
Just having fun.
Yeah.
And, like, what better is it to establish a team in a new market than to have a banging year?
Exactly.
In the first year.
Exactly.
Like, that fan base grew from zero to full in a short time. Like,
and Vegas is a tourist town. There's not really... I mean, there's a lot of people that live there.
There's actually a lot of love for that team, it seems.
It is. It's impressive. Like, what I'm saying is it was fate that would happen.
Yeah.
And it was a great thing for hockey in a new market. You know, it kind of hurt Seattle's new market because now I think there's going to be an expectation on Seattle to do it. But, I mean...
I don't think so.
You know what? Whatever, whether there is or isn't, I mean, it was a great thing for hockey. This David Arias thing, you could not have written Scott Foster against the Jets. Comes in, stops a Bufflin slap shot in the third period, wins the game. Mm-hmm. Okay, he plays phenomenal. Great job. But this, excuse me, this David Ayres thing, it's just as fate as it was the Vegas Golden Knights for them to win. For him to let the first two shots in, stop the next 10. He made $500 that game. The three top Leafs were paid an annual $28 million, and they couldn't score on a Zamboni driver. Stud. But what's cool is there's people that aren't familiar with or not aren't wouldn't watch a hockey game that are talking about hockey.
Yeah,
it's huge for the market. It's
business, man.
You know, it was cool to see. So the next day after, he ended up going to he had to practice with the Leafs.
Okay,
and Mitch Marner and Willie Nylander, they all came over, gave him pad taps. They're giving him, like, they were so happy. Like,
how
for
cool
him.
Is that?
And, yeah, sure, Toronto lost the game. And that's got to be hard for them, you know, to lose to a Zamboni driver. Especially now, Dave Ayres, who is the oldest goaltender to ever win his first game.
Mm-hmm.
At 42 years and 160 some days.
Whatever, yeah.
That's a record book. His stick is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool for hockey. It's a great thing for the sport. You know, the Leafs all, they showed a cool trait in life with water off the duck's back. They lost, but they were able to celebrate this guy saying, hey, you did something really cool.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that the Leafs, like, yeah, it sucked that they lost, but they were probably super stoked for Ayres. Like,
exactly.
And why wouldn't you? I'm sure they know the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the...
Well, he's on the practice squad, right?
Yeah, and he works for the I don't
team.
Know. Yeah, or for the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment.
And the Marlies.
Yeah. So I don't I'm sure they were excited to share that moment with him and be like, man, you played awesome and like that's so cool and whatever, right? Like, I'm sure they were ecstatic for him.
And it'll never, he'll never get that opportunity again, hopefully.
Well, maybe a team will pick him up. Maybe Seattle will have him as the starter next year.
Funny enough.
Seattle's probably calling him like, hey.
It's funny enough you say that. Because there was...
We're picking you up.
An ECHL team who, if anybody doesn't know, generally speaking, goalies, NHL players usually go dub or WHL or college into AHL pro.
Yeah.
And then into the NHL. Goalies tend to take a much longer route because A, there's only ever two of them on a team, three of them. In the pros they have three goalies plus practice goalies and whatever. And so they take a longer route, and goalies have a weird tendency to mature later in life. Look at Tim Thomas. 34 years old.
Marty Turco as well.
Marty Turco. Guys that matured, goalies have always matured a little
bit. Henrik Lundqvist.
Mm-hmm. He was older. He was
24. Older, yeah.
Which really isn't that
old. He was drafted in early 2000s.
Chris Osgood.
Yeah.
Osgood was an old fella.
Yeah.
Older fella. So goalies have always matured a little longer. They say that, like, as where an NHL forward can usually mature by, let's say, 19 to 24, let's say 20 to 24, they're matured. Goalies tend to only start the maturity process around 24, mm-hmm. which I don't really know what that means, but
there's always the caveat to that where, like...
Yeah, totally.
Like,
Carey Price.
Eddie Belfour, you know, he's drafted in 89 or 88. No, he was undrafted, sorry. But anyways, whatever, yeah.
Jumped in the league, Carey Price.
They jumped in the league and they just...
Dominant.
Vezina,
yeah,
Jennings or whatever,
winning
40 games, 40 wins or something, yeah. You know, 35
records.
Wins or whatever,
yeah. Seven shutouts, seven
like
records.
Steve Mason, 35 wins, 10 shutouts in his rookie year,
yeah,
like,
and then swiftly downhill from there.
Yeah, it's too bad. I was a fan.
Yeah, he was
still.
He was one of the only left-handed goalies I ever liked.
Yeah, right-handed goalie,
right-handed. Sorry. Yeah, I'm left-handed.
What about John Sebastian Aubin?
Nah, I was never a big fan.
He saved the Leafs that one year, and they almost made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like a backup, like an AHL goalie, like gets traded on the deadline and like comes within half a point or whatever, a point of saving the Leafs
playoffs. Yeah, that was before they had the, that was that old point system yeah. they had, yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, it was better. One played eight.
Missed that.
Which was great for the upsets.
Yeah.
How many times did you see, you know, Chicago or Pittsburgh? Well, they're not Pittsburgh, but
Ottawa.
Chicago, Ottawa. Yes, you know, squeak. The Leafs, or actually, Oilers. LA was known for it.
And then they go win the cup.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they, I mean.
Literally, that Sunday morning, you'd go to church and you'd be talking with your pals, like, who's gonna, like, out of the five games today, who's making it? And then
LA squeaks
it. LA squeaks it. Ottawa squeaks it. Maybe the Leafs, probably not.
And then,
or maybe the Oilers.
Fast forward 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks.
All of a sudden, they're in the
Stanley Cup Finals.
They're in the.
Well, that's the LA Kings.
Yeah. Edmonton Oilers, and they got in on Sunday, last day.
And now they're playing a Carolina team that has Rod Brind'Amour
and Eric Staal.
Now, Eric Staal is great in Carolina Uni.
Yeah.
First Jets game I ever watched, he was in the Carolina Uni.
Dang.
I never forget, he scored and he jumped in the glass like Ovechkin always did.
Yeah.
And I found out later that he had like family sitting in that corner.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So it was kind of neat. But
I got to see Ovechkin once. Went to his Capitals game.
Jets
Capitals.
We did.
Did we?
Yeah. Remember?
No.
Yeah, it was that really last minute game.
Oh,
that was Jets Capitals. Right, that was an overtime.
Gave me that one. Yep.
Yeah. That was a banging game because the Jets scored with like maybe a minute 30 or roughly around that left.
How about Ovechkin though? Huh?
Yeah, 700. 700.
Gang.
Think he'll catch Gretzky?
I think he'll get really close.
Part of me hopes he doesn't. Because it would be really cool to see Gretzky's number stand.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, so.
And the fact is, Wayne Gretzky was never a pure goal scorer like Ovechkin was.
I know. But again, this was a different time.
Totally. Totally agree.
But, okay, so then the argument is, well, what happens if Ovechkin gets injured? Ovechkin doesn't get injured. He's in a Russian tank.
Well, he did get hurt in the playoffs.
Yeah.
2 years ago. But that was Kadri. That was against the Leafs.
But, like, he doesn't... He's built very durable.
But have you noticed how he's aged so much more... not poorly. That's the wrong way to use it. He looks like he's aged a lot more than Crosby has.
Yeah.
Like, Crosby still looks like Crosby. Ovechkin's going. He's got that Silver Fox hitter just for like you.
But, hey, I mean, look at me. I'm 25 and I got the Silver Fox hitter. That's true, I mean, it's just different for everybody.
Totally, totally.
So, but yeah, I don't know if you can bank on that too much.
No. I'm not saying. That was just a thought I had.
He's still going to score 50 this year.
Oh, totally.
And it's not 07, so.
Totally. It's not Heater.
Heat Daddy, boy.
Woo! I mean, it would be really cool to see somebody in the modern age break it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been
if someone's gonna more do it, it's of gonna a, be him.
I've always been more of a Crosby fan. I didn't really like Ovechkin that much growing up just because I felt like he played
too one-sided?
Very one-sided.
Yeah.
He was not a defensive player. As where Crosby could always... He was never a liability on the back end.
Yeah.
But Ovechkin has stepped that game, part of his game up a lot. He's become a lot more of a leader.
Over the years,
Which is huge to see.
It's admirable, really.
Totally.
And he's still scoring goals.
Oh, he's still putting 50 up.
Yeah.
So,
I am mad.
I mean, it would be cool to see somebody like Connor McDavid. Because I think... people that are Ovechkin fans are going to hate me for this. I don't think Ovechkin was a generational talent. I think he was a pure goal scorer. I think he was a great talent, but I don't think when he came into the league, he was the same talent that McDavid is. I think McDavid's a generational talent.
What do you think about Brett Hull? Was he a generational talent or just a pure goal scorer?
I think he was a pure goal scorer. I wouldn't say he was a generational talent because you don't... The way I see it is generational talents, guys like Gretzky, guys like Crosby...
Lemieux,
Gordie Howe, they changed the game.
The Rocket.
In a way that
We're talking sports. They changed the game. Well, this is my wheelhouse, though.
I know, it used to be mine. I've fallen out of it a bit.
They had the ability to completely and totally dominate the game. Ovechkin has that ability.
Yes.
But I think his biggest hindrance will always be that he was so one-sided for one, for so long.
Yeah.
And so many of his goals, and this, he figured it out, good for him. Great shot, great release, coming from that left hash mark.
Mm-hmm.
He used them.
And it still works.
It does, totally. Because he's got such a big shot. But you look at a guy like Gretzky. Okay, Gretzky got 700 goals, but was known as a playmaker.
He got 892 goals.
Okay. He got a boatload of goals.
A truckload.
A shit ton, they might say.
A super B. Huh?
Oh, yeah, that big.
That double hitter, dump, huh?
That heavy hitter. worth of goals, but it wasn't like watching. You watch Gretzky's highlight reel, and there's 800 different goals. You watch Ovechkin's highlight reel, and there's 400 different goals. Or there's 300 different goals. You know, 400 of them are the same one.
Do you remember that one goal in his rookie year that he scored?
Yeah,
against Phoenix. Oh, that was beautiful.
It was a beautiful goal. Don't get me wrong.
But when I talk about a
generational talent, I think of Connor McDavid and the way that he commands the game.
Yeah.
And he has one thing that he's so good at. You know, like his speed sets him apart. Fast guy in the NHL.
Yeah.
Actually, he got beat this year.
Yeah, but it was so close.
It was, yeah. Like, it's any given. He slipped in his last, not his last one, but the one before. But you know how, like, you think of McDavid and he's just worlds ahead of everybody?
If you're doing a fantasy draft, you pick McDavid first overall.
Totally. Ovechkin was never worlds ahead of anybody. He was just that much better than everybody. But he was never like... it's hard to explain. But I've never looked at Ovechkin as a generational talent. I think he's just been a pure goal scorer.
But I think that a pure goal scorer is a generational talent.
Yeah, see, and I don't.
Well, that's where you're wrong.
Well... We all have a
doubt. Here I am sitting here wearing a Canadian club toque.
Well, hey, this is the thing about sports is it gives you the ability to have an opinion. Like,
even if you're wrong.
Even if you're, yeah, if you think Ovechkin's, you know, the new...
The shit?
Yeah, the greatest thing since sliced bread.
The goat?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Gordie Howe now. That's that old son, the goat. They call him Gordie Howe hat-trick for a reason, son.
Gang, maybe.
Score, assist, and then fight. That's that old time.
That's that real time. That's that real time, huh?
But yeah, I think... I would love to see somebody break Gretzky. And Gretzky said it himself, too. He would be the first guy to shake Ovechkin's hand, which just shows how classy Gretzky is.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Records are meant to be broken. Exactly. You know, Brodeur's... As big of a Brodeur fan as I am, I'm a huge Brodeur fan. I mean, I got signed rookie cards, I got pictures. Well, actually, I have one rookie card that James Reimer still has. So, James, if you're listening, I'd like that back. That's my retirement. I mean, it's only worth about $200 now, but either way, it will be worth a lot one day.
Well, I don't feel like there's anybody getting close to that anymore right now.
Well, that's the thing. The game has changed so much.
Yeah.
Like, it would be...
It feels like players are more recyclable now.
Well, look at the average age of a player. Like, you know, you have one... You know, for a guy like...
All these captains that are 21 years old.
For a guy like Ovechkin, you know, if he would have came into the league, let's say, 5 years later, and he, you know, he puts up 50 in his first 3 years, how often do you hear Steven Stamkos now?
That's true.
Hardly ever. At one point, he was the best player in the game.
Yeah.
Until he got run to that net. 29 goals right now. And the only reason I know that is because I came up on an Instagram feed that he's missing 6 to 8 weeks due to a core muscle surgery. Which means they'd cut through his core.
I love Stamkos, but he's such a band-aid.
Ever since he buggered up his knee.
Running into that net.
Mm-hmm.
Guilt. I'm also a band-aid, but I mean, I'm not
getting paid millions of dollars.
But I am a band-aid.
Yeah, same here.
It sucks. I hate it.
And it's not even clumsy. It's just like bad things happen.
It just sucks.
It's just luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Not bodies are built differently. That's all that's to it.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much. I mean,
it's like vehicles. They all come out of the same dealership, same production, but every 10, there's 11.
Yeah. Sometimes they make it to the show.
Every now and again. That's Trevor, 450 in 1 year.
Trevor Bayne.
The bane of my existence. One of 500.
That's right.
Can you believe that? I got one of 500. Anybody. They're just letting anybody win 500 nowadays.
What's the requirements, yeah. Son?
You can drive? That's not it. But yeah, so...
I have an idea.
What's the idea?
I heard... I was listening to a Cleared Hot podcast with Andy Stumpf.
Okay.
And he was with... Who was he with? He was with Matt Best.
Okay. From
Black Rifle Coffee. BRCC. Let's ask each other a few questions. Five questions each.
All right. Rapid fire?
No.
All right. Just one by one?
It can be anything. It can be anything.
Okay. One by one. You ask, I'll ask. You ask, I answer. I ask, you answer.
I'll ask first.
Yeah,
and it can be literally anything.
All right.
And you can expand as much as you need to.
All right.
Because we got
time. Some time.
It's only 10:57 p.m. on a Saturday.
And we got a whole mess of whiskey.
Hang on. This is February the 29th.
In the year 2020.
It's a leap year.
It's a leap year date. This is a bonus episode.
I heard...
Oh, damn.
There's people getting married right now.
You're going to have to wait every four... That's smart. You think about it, as a man, that's smart. You have to wait 4 years to celebrate your anniversary. Kimmy. That's that thought process, huh?
Yes.
This is like... I always wondered. If you were born on... If we have any listeners that are born on a leap year day. Or leap day year.
A leap year day.
I think that would be it. When do you celebrate your birthday? 28th or the 1st?
Or at midnight. Probably at midnight, huh?
But think about it.
That would suck on a work day.
When do you get your driver's license? Like, do they just say, okay, well, technically March 1st? Because then you would technically be, when can you go for a drink? Your first legal beverage.
Yeah.
Because they're going to card you. And you're going to say, oh, look.
Those bricks.
You can go at midnight on March 1st. Like, I always wondered that, but I don't know anybody that's born on leap year day. As far as I know. If there's anybody listening, let me know. I'm curious.
Let us know.
We need a guest.
Let us
snow. We could have an episode. We call that Snowden.
Edward, huh?
Yeah. Okay, so question. Question time.
What's your favorite part about archery hunting?
One favorite part or what I love about it?
One favorite part, sure. No, I said, what's your favorite part?
Yeah, you did. What's my favorite part about archery hunting?
Whitetail.
Hunting whitetails, okay.
Archery whitetails.
Well, it's all really hunting archery. So, I think I fell in love with the closeness of it. With how you don't have the option to be 250, 300 yards away and pull the trigger and kill an animal.
Okay.
I love how it's, you know, 20 yards or less and you gotta... The work behind it that gets you to that point.
I feel like all the stresses of fill and sigh and fall really speaks to that. Like the opportunities that were kind of there and over there and the shots that
could have happened, but
we
didn't.
Both missed this last year.
Yeah, missed or you know, didn't take.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a difference between the two. You can miss a shot, which I missed a shot this year, but you can also not take a shot, which what happened with me and Cy was... not wanting, maybe it wasn't wanting to end my hunting season yet, but I think it was also, it was a very exposed situation. And I felt like I would not have been able to put an arrow where I wanted to.
Okay.
And this, we actually just talked about this the other day, with my trust in my equipment dwindling.
That's a problem.
It was a big problem last year. I feel like I could have put Cy down had I trusted my bow a little more. But with not trusting my bow, I was not confident in hunting. And that translated into me into situations where I was more eager to put you first
to get a deer. I think like when I
see, I didn't realize that then.
And I honestly, subconsciously, I don't think I did it on purpose, mm-hmm. but I think there was a part of, like, I'd say 95% of me, that's the type of person I am. I would rather see you kill a big buck and help you drag him out than have me put an arrow through it. Just the kind of person I am. I don't know why. I hate it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I won't chase down the opportunity. But I think a big part of me letting you saying, go, yeah, go get him, was because I didn't have...
Well, letting in quotation marks.
Well, yeah, but I mean... When we were sitting there drawing straws over who was going to go, you know, sit in that spot.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I was pushing you to go do it. And I think a big part of that was because I did not trust my equipment.
Mm. See, I was none the wiser.
In the moment, I didn't either. It was just kind of like, well, just get after it.
Yeah.
But, you know, thinking back to it, especially now, like whatever, 6 months or what, whatever, 6 months later, thinking about it logically. Is it 6 months?
Something like that.
Yeah, it'd be October...
September.
September, October, November, December, January, February. We'll be in March, so it would be six. We'll be in March in 2 hours. 1 hour.
58 minutes.
So, well, yeah, almost 6 months. but yeah, so that's... Okay, so that's my favorite part of whitetail hunting.
With archery. Okay.
Shoot.
Why don't you lean in closer to the microphones?
I will. I'm scratching my head thinking of a stumper.
You weren't expecting this, huh?
No, you're hitting me on the spot here.
And it does
I got one. Why do you choose to drive a mid-sized truck as opposed to a half-ton?
I choose to drive a mid-sized pickup truck because it's very hard to find standards in full-size. Okay.
Yep.
Now, unless I'm going to buy a Cummins in certain years, up to a certain year, whatever, was it 15, 14?
They still produce them. You just have to order them.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to spend $100,000 or whatever.
Well, you can find them like a Gigi, but yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
So, I drive a midsize because I was born and raised under the Nissan brand, you know? And Nismo. So, yeah, generally, you follow what you're brought up with, right? Like, you follow the bow tie, and I follow that little Japanese symbol.
I was raised on Ford.
Well, but your pops has a bow tie now.
Now, but he always drove Ford. My mom and my dad drove Ford.
Okay,
actually.
Okay, but...
And I did buy a Ford first.
But we were talking before we started recording, and you were talking about how...
I bleed bow tie.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, so, totally. Totally. So, I hate the front end. I hate the IFS in a Chevy, but I bleed bow tie.
Yeah, so I'm just partial to the...
That's fair.
I know a lot of people hate on me for it, and you know what?
I think it's far less than you think.
Olson, you haven't been through it.
No, well, I did own a quarter
turn. It's in especially high school and like 19, 20 years old, yeah. I got hated on a lot and made fun of a lot. I just kept the faith. Like,
I mean, I do make fun of other people that drive quarter tons, so.
Which is fine.
I just don't make fun of you.
Because I'll kick your ass.
Well, I mean, that's just really not what I'm worried about. Because, I mean, I don't know, like, yeah, no, that makes sense. I always wondered if you would ever,
like, I've looked into buying,
jump to the half
I've ton. Looked into getting a half ton or even a, well, not too much into a diesel yet, but.
The three quarters.
I've thought about it, but I've never, like, looked into it too far, like, yeah. Test drove or anything, but. Well, then again, I guess I kind of have test drove diesels.
What diesel did you test drive?
Like. When I used to help Stonebridge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you weren't really shopping them at that point.
I was getting to know them, though.
Yeah, but it's a good thing to learn.
Yeah.
How diesels work and how they power-wise, they are far superior.
I mean, at work, I drive a diesel at Duramax now and then.
You get that three-quarter ton every now and again.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm very familiar with it, but I like to drive a midsize because it's a standard transmission and what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm partial to the brand.
That's fair. So, brand loyalty. It's something you said about brand loyalty.
And you see those internet memes going around about, you know, people hating on like the Ridgeline and the Nissans, but.
You know, it's more of the Ridgeline than it is the Nissan.
They lump them in together and I don't understand why, but whatever.
I would much rather drive.
You can do what you want.
A Titan over. I'll never own a Ridgeline in my life.
No.
And if I ever own a Ridgeline, I want somebody to put me out of my misery. Put me down. One between the eyes, please.
Okay.
You know that chassis is the same as the Odyssey? Like you can you can take the cab off of a Ridgeline and bolt it onto a Odyssey. It's the same chassis.
I guess that's one tough minivan. You can look at it that way.
Well, hey, I mean, I drove an Odyssey all in high school.
That's right.
I ripped that bad boy. Okay, what's your next question? That's one. What, round one done.
What's your favorite kind of rye?
Oh, that's easy. 40 Creek.
Sorry, and why?
Actually, lately I've been digging on the spiked, the 40 Creek spiked.
Okay.
I like because it's smooth. It doesn't have, an 83 bite.
Ah, yes. A cheap bite.
Which it isn't a terribly expensive bottle of rye. 25 bucks? 26 bucks?
Yeah, something like that.
Right around there.
26, 27.
So, you know, $100 every month and a half if you're heavy into the drinking. Which, I mean, it's rye, so.
So, yeah.
About a month. About 25 bucks a week. Not that bad. No, I like the honey spike because it's smooth. It's a little sweeter. I do have a sweet tooth. It's something I get from my grandmother. She likes her sweets. But yeah, actually, and the funniest thing is, I never drank 40 Creek until I met you. You're the one that got me hooked on 40 Creek.
Hot hose hit.
On that copper pot.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, because I remember that's what you started, or you were drinking at one time. Yeah, you were drinking copper pot. And now when it goes on sale, I'll buy the copper pot. Yeah. I do like it.
I don't mind the original.
I don't mind the original either. Like, it's not a bad rye.
The copper pot's just a little bit smoother.
Yeah, and then I like the spike because it's just a little, it's got that that honey hit. Because it's a honey, like a honey infused or honey spiced. It's pretty good. Okay.
I know this is tough. It's on the spot.
No, it's good. It's good. It gets me thinking. Here's one.
Oh, shit.
Rye bread or white bread?
Oh, rye bread all the way. All
right. Gang shit, daddy.
As a kid growing up, I hated any bread that had seeds in it.
Okay.
And as I've grown older, I only eat bread with seeds in it.
That's healthy. That's usually a healthier bread.
Actually, to be honest, I only eat Ezekiel bread now.
Really?
I do not eat white bread ever.
Well, there's no nutritional value in white bread. It's cardboard.
It's cardboard. It's better than cardboard.
Hardly. I will not eat a piece of white bread. If somebody were to bring me, like,
but there's more, like, okay.
I'm not having a slice of white bread for toast. Hell no, daddy.
If we're having fajita, my parents, and there's a Bake World white bun.
Sorry,
that's a bun.
That's a bun.
Okay.
There's a difference.
So bread, I will only eat Ezekiel bread.
Okay, I'll only
eat and or rye.
I mean, I will have bread.
I'll go with whatever multigrain is available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I'm buying, it will be Ezekiel bread.
Yeah.
Which is sprouted greens.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott, he's a football player, not the same
Dallas thing. Cowboys, I'm a fan, lifelong fan.
Yeah. I think
Dallas Power.
KC made a new fan this year.
Okay.
Pat Mahomes, because that's my boy. Anyway. Stud. Yeah, he's a real great quarterback.
But yeah, as far as bread goes, for sure.
Bun-wise, tray bun, white or whole wheat, don't matter. If it's a tray bun, I'll eat it. I love tray buns.
It's a tray bun.
You never have... actually, you would know what a tray bun... That's usually what they have for FOSPA. At least we always did growing up.
Einbach.
Tray buns. I got a pack in the freezer, actually.
Einbach.
Yeah, they're like square... They're little.
Yeah.
They're like what you get at a
funeral.
That's
an Einbach.
Okay, it's a tray bun.
No.
Yeah. That's the English word. And
I don't speak English.
We know, daddy. We know. We know. Oh, yeah. I love bread, though. I love anything carb-related in general.
Me too.
That's my problem.
Okay, what made you want to start the Deep Freeze podcast?
Oh, I talk about it on my first episode.
Well, this isn't your episode.
But I'll reiterate. for the most part.
Oh, so you could go and listen to the first episode and compare that, compare and contrast to this right now.
It's a shameless plug.
It is actually
for the Deep Freeze.
Which is a podcast. Or is it the Deep? Okay, as soon as I heard Deep Freeze, I thought every time I hear it, I think Deep Sneeze.
Really?
Yeah.
You might be the only person. That everybody asked me about if it was a construction thing because they thought it was a, you know, you'd put a deep freeze in a house. I had a few questions about that. Is it a construction podcast? I'm like, who's going to talk about construction? Why would I talk about construction on a podcast?
We could talk about it.
We could. We got enough experience in the business.
Well, whenever you have me on, we can talk some construction.
Yeah, we can talk about that timbers.
We can talk. We can talk depression, construction, life, and et cetera.
Yeah, other liquor.
Anyways, go on.
So for me, why I started the deep freeze was...
And why do you only have 3 episodes?
So, one of the... Okay, let me answer the first part of the question first. So I wanted to have a platform...
Sorry, the deep sneeze.
Where I felt like I would be able to share a little more openly than I would on here. Okay. And I don't want to make it sound like there's confines to this podcast, because there's really no.
There used to be.
There used to be. We used to have a very closed format. Now it's quite a bit different.
We're slanging.
We're just doing the damn thing. But
I'd be slanging that hitter, huh?
Oh, I'm slinging that meat missile.
Woo!
But yeah, no, I
that's for you,
honestly,
Reg.
Yeah.
And Randy.
Yeah, Reg's Randy. Hey, Randy, my cousin, huh? You know what? You knew that?
I'm aware.
Okay.
We talked about that.
We mentioned that.
Two idiots.
Go follow them. No, I'm a verbal processor. So I have this, thing where.
Yeah, you are.
If it's in my head, I can never seem to solve a problem. So, for example, lately, my truck.
Before we started recording, he was meeching about his...
I wouldn't say I was meeching. I would say I was just blowing some steam off.
Okay, he was venting.
I was venting.
His Kijiji just, escapades.
Yeah, which, that's another podcast. We get into Kijiji
lots encounters. Of deep sneeze.
I don't know how you thought of a deep sneeze. That's just
I just really, think of that every time. I bet you I'm not the only one.
I would venture to say you're probably the only one. The F and the S are very different sounds.
But it rhymes, though. It rhymes, though. And that is, English language is all about rhyming.
Okay, well, no one thinks it's Flatlands mealed and foul.
Mealed?
Mealed.
What is meal?
Or meal. No one thinks it's Flatland meal and foul. Like, that's just not really
that's it. That's because it doesn't even make sense.
Well, exactly. Neither does the deep sneeze.
Well, you could be
no
deep
one sneezes and goes, wow, that was a deep sneeze. That doesn't happen.
I do it all the time.
Really? You verbally say it, that was a deep sneeze? No.
Or nay, bruh.
Can it? No. No, I'm a verbal processor, and I just wanted another. If it's stuck in my head, I can never seem to figure it out. But if I can verbalize it, I can. I feel like I can solve 90% of my own issues if I just talk about it. And it was an opportunity for me to maybe get into a little different areas of my life. You know, whether it be the fact I didn't have a dad for 6 years, or you know, my mom's cancer battle, or whatever comes up day to day, and just a place where I felt like, or I feel like I can, you know, laugh and just kind of laugh, or laugh at myself. Really, that's kind of what I went for. And the reason I only have 3 episodes is kind of went through a bit of a hectic time in the last kind of month.
Okay, mm-hmm.
Leading up to
okay,
and recording. Recording was getting a little difficult, so I've been working on getting some new equipment, which we've talked about.
Which is on the way.
It's on the way. It's shipping. So yeah. Can't wait to set that bad boys, those bad boys up. But yeah, so it's kind of that, and there were some other things that have been going on in my life, which I will cover on the podcast. That I felt like I needed to take a little hiatus. and collect some things because I was getting to the point where I was getting burnt out and felt like it was more of a job to record, and that was the exact reason I didn't want to get into my own podcast.
I feel like we kind of ran into that on here at some point.
Because
when we were in that closed format, you could only beat the horse so many times.
Exactly. We only talk about NASCAR. And we only talk about MMA. We only talk about hunting. And that's where I think we cornered ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know, it felt like more of a job for us to record, especially, you know, as we kind of laid into the last part of the year. Now, to be fair, we also were...
To be fair.
We also did, you know, especially with our whole white shell adventure, how much we hunted together.
Yeah.
I found, and maybe it was just me, I found it was difficult for us to just get together because we had spent so much time together.
It's like you want some space.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, let's see other people. Yeah, just leave me alone. It's not you, it's me. But actually, no, it's you. No, it was just...
It's the rye.
It's funny because I've told this to everybody.
It's a little bad.
That... Because that year, especially that year, and you know, I'm hoping it doesn't happen this year, but we spent so much time together hunting and podcasting and talking and
bullshitting.
You know, bullshitting. It felt like it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, hey, you know what? Let's branch off a little. Let's spread some wings. We just need some space apart, and then we'll get back and we'll do it again. And we've come back, and I mean, I feel like we've been a lot more consistent.
Yeah.
And I feel like our episodes have gotten better.
Better. And we're going to have a guest on soon.
We are. We're working on that. We got a couple. Actually, I got a couple people that have expressed interest in.
And one of them is a local podcast host. So stay tuned for that, folks.
That'll be a hitter. Okay, so that's round three done.
Now you got to ask me the third one. And the guest is Red Weep and Two Idiots.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. Right, this is the first time hearing about it.
Well, he's been begging me for a while.
Well, dude,
begging me. Sorry, Red. I didn't mean to say that.
Just flaunting in front of him like a piece of meat. Like,
yeah.
Who's this guy? That's just really neat.
I mean,
he's waving in front of his face.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, who wouldn't?
Just because they have 50 some episodes and this is 24.
56? Like, who are these Muppets?
These Muppets.
They must have time.
They don't even have that mud flap.
They have that. Oh, they had that mullet. I showed you the picture today. I had that mullet.
Yeah, you did, son.
I had that mullet.
Yay.
I want to bring her back, I think.
I'm looking into it.
Woo! I would love to have that baby drape off the back.
That baby drape and that word curtain. Oh, huh?
Absolutely. Just dangler.
Woo!
That's what I'm looking for. Okay, number three. If you could never hunt again, what would be the most, like, the next hobby you would pick up? Like, in your mind. Would, like, next thing you would take interest in if you
competition barbecue.
Okay, fair enough. You take your barbecue seriously.
I do. I like to provide a quality meat. A good tasting meat.
You've really changed.
No,
you went to barbecue and you've changed.
I've changed. No, I just really enjoy barbecuing and cooking, really. Like, baking, not so much. A little bit, but not really. Barbecue, I really enjoy. And
slap together a good banana bread, and that's really all you need in life.
Yeah, pretty much. Or some banana pancakes. I like to do a pancake with oats and banana.
All right.
I'm a big fan of oats,
yeah, as far as baking. We know.
Oats, man.
We know.
Forget about that white flour.
To be fair. I've really gotten into, we talked about this yesterday, I've really gotten into yogurt and granola.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite bedtime snacks. So yeah. I used to have this thing where, you know, just have like a scoop or two of ice cream before bed. Just because it was like, that's one of my favorite.
I love ice cream.
Love ice cream.
And it gives me the shits now.
Well, I don't have that issue.
Gives me that stomach problem.
The issue I have is I just want to have more and more.
I have that problem good. Too. I have that problem too.
Wow. That's really a unique scenario to have. The more you want, the more shits you're going to have. I started doing the yogurts and granolas. I got a honey flax, maybe, I think it's called.
Okay.
It's real good, but it's like I could just eat granola on its own. It's that good. competitive barbecue, that's your next.
That would be, I think that would be my next thing. If you couldn't
hunt no more.
Yeah. And do
would you try and get venison from other folk then to barbecue with, you think?
Well,
or if you couldn't kill it yourself, you wouldn't want to cook it.
Honestly, I don't know. Because as far as venison goes, I mean, you're only getting at the most 70 pounds off a deer, right? So unless if somebody offers it, I'm not going to ask somebody for it. Because it's not that much.
No, right? But what I'm saying is, like, if I said, okay, I'll shoot a deer, like, you know, I can get, let's say, 2 tags this year. I'll shoot a deer for you. I'll give you all the meat. Would you take it, or would?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bruh.
Okay. Bruh. I don't know if I would. So I don't know if I would.
I would. I would for sure do it.
I would rather.
I would reimburse you for the tag.
Well, I would appreciate that.
And I would.
Future me, I would appreciate that.
I would take it as the full carcass, and I would process it myself. I would say, hey.
Well, I'd probably quarter it for you.
Sure, sure.
That idea.
I would do all the deboning, whatever.
I'd probably help you.
Like, I would assume, like, you would, I would assume to get a call, I would come help the field dress or whatever, haul it out. Or, I mean, if you're on location somewhere, well, whatever. Bring it to me and I'll deal with it. I'll reimburse you for the tag. And I'll deal with it from there.
I don't know if I mean, I have done it once. I don't know if I would do it again.
I would do it. 100%.
I felt almost guilty eating that meat.
See, I don't understand why.
I don't know. I felt like I didn't earn it.
In that case,
To be honest,
I think that you just need to get over yourself.
No, I totally agree. But like Luke Combs says, I got set in stone convictions.
At the end of the day, it still ends up in the city sewer system. So
no, I totally agree. But I've always prided myself on being an ethical hunter that earns his keep. You know what I mean?
But still, if somebody,
and I felt like that situation for me,
if
last year was just not ideal.
Sure,
not last year, the year before. Sorry,
yeah,
was not ideal.
But I just feel that if it's offered to you. Sure. Look to do as much work in the process as you can.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, I deboned everything in that process.
If the other party is satisfied with your contribution.
Then hey, have at her.
Have at her.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's just meat. In that regard, it's just meat. In that regard, it's just meat. Yes, okay. Hopefully the hunter killed it in a very ethical way, whatever, blah, 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 et cetera.
Oh, that's not the issue that I have.
But at the end of the day, it's sustenance, and we're on the top of the food chain.
Totally. I totally agree with that. I'll never dispute that.
And I'm trying to conquer this facial expression you just had.
I think it's one of those things that I'm set in stone about, and it you know, it was like, it was exactly like last year when you harvested that doe, when you gave me the heart. I didn't know how to take it. I almost didn't want to take it. There was something inside of me that said I don't want to take that because I didn't earn it. No different, and I view it on the same way that where you had asked me the one day, well, can I go hunt X and X parcel? And I sent you a video saying, get after it, it's public land. It's not my land.
Okay.
And me being the person I am, saying, I'd rather you harvest fill or sigh than anyone else. Mm-hmm. So, I think for me, it's, I don't know, it's tough to say that I would take it because I've been in that situation. And the feeling of, not necessarily guilt. I can't say it was guilt.
I don't see how it would be guilt, but.
I would say it was just, it felt wrong because I felt like I didn't work for it. And I did a lot of work that year for it. I mean, we hunted hard.
We were out there.
We put in hours and hours and hours and hours.
We did it.
And miles and miles.
We did it.
And it didn't turn out for me that year. And I felt like I took the easy, I felt like I took the Tinder way out.
Well, you did.
Exactly. And I don't like that feeling. I would rather go home with Tag Soup than take the Tinder way out. That's just me.
But.
Which isn't right.
But overall.
I just got set in
stone. In that scenario. I just think that, like I said, you just need to get over yourself. Maybe I don't know if we're going to get maybe that stuff on the parking lot this, but like,
maybe honestly, it's a pride issue.
It is a pride. I think it is a pride issue, and
but I also feel like it's not the worst pride issue you could have.
It's like not
a better pride issue or worse pride issue you could have.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, sure, but
and we're also talking about a very fictional situation.
It's petty. To me, it's petty.
That's fair.
Because I've seen my brother, you know, at the time, his boss, he had a number of tags because he was hunting in a certain GHA where there was like three tags, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I just shot this, whatever. I'll give it to you. Yeah. Because I already have two. Okay. My brother got it. I ate the shit out of that deer.
See, and
so I'm used to that. Maybe
see, and that's where
and as far as like my mom growing up on the farm down south there, it was like a pool, right? I'm used to that.
For me, it was never like that. Like when my dad when that animal got harvested 2 years ago, I got a phone call at 11:30 in the morning. Do you want it? And I said, I don't know. He goes, well, it's feeding 175 yards away. Do you want it? I said, okay, sure. Then the phone, I could hear the phone go like this. And then, oh! And then, okay, come pick it up. And that was the end of the phone call. So it wasn't a, I already have two, I'll give you this one, which probably would have sat better with my conscience. The fact my dad didn't tag out that year, necessarily, that's where the issue came for me. Because I felt like I was jumping around the legal way to do it. So I think a combination of jumping around the legal way to do it, not being there for the kill shot, not being there for, you know, I did drag that thing out of the bush by foot. We had a four-wheeler, but I said no, I was going to drag it. You know, there was like a few things that kind of combined to where I felt like I just maybe shouldn't have done that. Whereas as a conservationist, I felt like I was not in the right.
Okay.
Well, now we're also talking about a very fictional situation where you can't hunt anymore, which I'm talking geese, talking beavers, talking whitetails, talking what people.
Well, beavers is under trapping rights, so that's different.
But also, it's still hunting.
Look at this. That comes and goes with actions.
Okay, you're up.
That was three rounds.
That was three.
I don't even know what to ask.
We dived in. We got
that's
that.
That's a deep dive, huh? What are we at?
That's a deep freeze.
Buck 17. All right.
Let's wrap up two and four more questions.
Oh, man. What would be your dream career?
Farming chickens.
That simple.
That's it.
What stage?
What do you mean, what stage?
Like,
at what point in my life?
No.
Oh.
Chickens.
Oh, birth to butcher.
Okay.
35 days, boy.
That's it.
That's all it takes.
Heavy proteins, huh?
Day one, they're born. Day 35 or 36, they're butchered.
How big are they?
Full grown. 36 days.
How does that even work?
Everybody's going to chime in and say...
Genetics, huh?
Say growth hormones. They're going to say antibiotics. They're going to say... No, it's all genetics. We have selectively bred chickens for 100 plus years to be able to put out the meat quality. If we...
Them thick tifties, huh?
Them tots. Them chicken restuses. science has done wonders for us. I mean, we have a fully tailored feed system for these, or feed program for these chickens.
I like some good chicken.
You know, they can't really live past 30, 42 days, I think it is, due to the fact their bone structure isn't big enough to support how much weight they have, which some people get mad at. I don't think it's a problem. We have 7 billion people on this earth we need to feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the expense that comes with that.
Okay.
But that would be my... I mean, it's, I grew up doing it. I mean, I can confidently tell you I've been farming chickens since I was 7 years old. I think it's the thing I know how to do best in this world. I can walk into a barn and before I've seen the chickens, I can smell if it's hot or cold or wet or not, or what the issue is, if they're out of feed, if they're out of water, if just something you kind of grow with and learn as you go.
Okay.
But that's, yeah, chicken. I'd like to do chicken, land, and cattle. That would be... So farming would be my career, but chicken being a main export would be the one I know best.
That's that retirement right there.
It'd be a lot of debt.
But
it would be retirement once I sold.
Yeah.
Once I sold. Yeah. That's where farmers make their
money. Assuming you'd have chickens in the next 10 years, per se.
My goal is 5.
Okay, well.
I told my...
We'll be generous and say 10.
I've always told myself 30. I wanted to be out of construction by 30. Because I don't... My body's not going to handle much past 30. So.
Well, most people's bodies won't.
If you want to be viable. Especially the life that I've lived.
Gang.
It's
tough, I know.
Oh, I've played hard in my day. Which leads me into my question.
Sure.
If you could go back and play one sport or do one activity that you didn't get to do growing up, what would it be?
My normal answer would say play organized hockey, but the way that my tastes have changed over the years, I'm going to say race cars.
Okay. As in like...
Dirt track.
Dirt, like, okay. All right.
Sprint.
Sprint cars.
Maybe model.
Like mini sprints?
Yeah.
All right. That's fair.
Because that opens a lot of doors.
Could open a lot of doors. Could, or yes. Bury you in a mountain of debt.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah.
You can actually buy a mini sprint car for cheap now. And I'd say cheap as in, like, not the price of a
actually,
vehicle.
So I would say either racing or track and field.
Okay. You wouldn't have never got into that rodeo lifestyle, the Dale Brisby, keeping her 90, if you could have.
I didn't even think of that.
That's where I was headed with that.
I was wondering. Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Let's reverse that.
Probably the rodeo life. Well, you can pick three. Like, hey.
Well, you could race.
It's your podcast.
Okay, you could race.
No, you wouldn't be able to do that and rodeo. Same weekends. Summer.
Saddle bronc.
Yeah, but you're doing... You do saddle bronc. You're looking at, for sure, 2 rodeos a weekend.
Saddle bronc.
Race in the evening?
Don't race.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You would ride saddle bronc.
I think so.
All right. Well, you're
just
not
cause,
as dumb as the others.
Just because, like, that's what... I'm a big fan of Chris Ledoux.
Yeah.
And he was a world champion saddle bronc.
He was.
So.
Saddle bronc riders are not as dumb as bareback. I'll say that. No offense to any bareback riders out there. You guys are batshit dumb. And I say that coming from a guy that rode bulls.
If you could do one thing, what would it be?
One thing? Give me some context. Because I could do a lot of one thing.
Bucket list. What would be something cool you could do with like no price tag? Too great.
Oh.
I don't even know what my answer would be.
I got a few different answers. Probably.
Or run through.
I'd probably hunt the Yukon.
Okay.
Go on a ram hunt.
Yeah.
Archery.
Some
of doll.
Some of that white.
Yeah.
That white
work. Moose hunt.
Yeah.
You know, up there. I would do. I'd probably go for the 3-peat. Go for the grizzly, moose, caribou.
Okay.
But I guess 4-peat and ram. I'd probably do that. Oh, or you know, go down to Colorado and hunt elks, you know, go hunt with Cam Haynes in Oregon. That would be super neat. Or Idaho, I guess.
His son just moved to Utah. Truett.
Yeah.
Saw it today. That's cool.
Utah's got great elk hunting.
Yeah, it does. I bet you that was planned.
Oh, guaranteed.
He's like, I'm going to stay in Oregon. You're going to go to Utah. Your brother's a ranger, so...
Get that resident tag.
Yeah.
Way cheaper. I probably wouldn't travel. At 20, going on 25, I wouldn't travel. I feel like I couldn't appreciate... Like, I couldn't... Unless it was something war-related, you know, going to Juneau... Auschwitz. Or going to Auschwitz, or going to
Reg Normandy. Reg has been to Auschwitz, and that sounds unbelievable.
I feel like I can appreciate that at 25. I couldn't go to, you know, the Eiffel Tower and look at it and go, well, that's just dandy.
You could appreciate the architectural work, I suppose. I mean, it was a construction standpoint, that's kind of cool, but...
It was a tower. That's all it was. Like it was built as an electric tower, a broadcasting tower.
I guess.
Which, to me, I at 25, I couldn't appreciate. Or almost 25, I couldn't appreciate it. You know, I'd like to go to Ireland. You know, go to the homeland. I am Irish.
Really?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I'm mostly Irish in my lineage. We got a whole mess SVG. From Ireland.
Oh, yeah, SVG.
Boy. Why do you think I like Connor? That's my boy.
Okay. McGregor.
Surprise, surprise, Mona. The king is back.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'd probably go to... That I'd feel like... I'd like to backpack to the island. It's always been a dream of mine.
You're kind
of
cool. You
should do that. Just go backpacking.
You should do that.
Yeah, one day. When I'm starting to take time off work.
You know, as stupid as it sounds, as I get older... You know, I used to think like, oh no, you got to save all your holidays, all your experiences for going hunting. Well, I'm starting to realize that that's not the case.
That ain't it, Daddy.
The world doesn't revolve, like, life does not revolve around just hunting.
Or just work.
Or just bingo.
That's bingo.
It's a good idea to get out and do separate experiences. Like,
absolutely.
I went to California over New Year's.
Yeah, on a last minute trip.
Yeah.
Very last
minute. And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah, totally.
And I got to see some wildlife out there too, which was cool.
Which is part of
a bonus. Game.
That's a bonus.
I had no expectations for that, and I was just glad to see it. It just happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's round four. Yeah.
That was my five.
Where are your five? Oh yeah, I got the final question.
Yeah.
Boy. If you had the option.
Okay.
Would you rather get behind the wheel of a 2020 Monster Energy?
They don't NASCAR call it that anymore.
What do they call it?
It's NASCAR Cup Series now.
Oh, is it just NASCAR Cup
Series? Well, and then they name their four flagship sponsors, which is kind of dumb. But anyways, go on. I know what you're talking about.
The 2020 Toyota Camry NASCAR Cup car.
Okay.
Or.
Okay.
A... pre-runner Frontier and racing like a Baja 500 type deal. Rather get behind a Baja truck or a NASCAR car.
Oh my goodness.
Sprint Cup car. That's a tough one, huh? Like a Frontier pre-runner.
I know exactly what you mean.
Long travel kit and all.
Oh man. Running the King of the Hammers. Against the man spot.
Yeah.
Good lord. Why do you have to ask such a tough question?
I don't know. That's what popped into my mind. I'm out here. I'm W5. I'm asking the tough questions. I'm Lisa LaFlamme out here. Like, I'm doing the damn thing.
Getting it.
I'm over Gord LeClaire. Yeah. If you guys don't know who Gord LeClaire is, you guys need to Google him.
Brush up, son.
That's Canadian history.
Okay, so... Man... Now, that's a tough question because there's a lot more money in the NASCAR Cup Series. However, the experience in racing a Baja race or a pre-runner race or something like the King of the Hammers down in Mexico or the southern states. That's pretty freaking cool. And, oh man. So, if I would race the Cup Series, would I be racing amongst the likes of Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Busch and Chase Elliott and YRB and those fellas or what?
Okay, I'll make this a little easier on you.
Okay.
You have a Cup Series car. You're at Homestead. You're one of the top four.
Homestead? What about
Phoenix. Okay. It's Phoenix this year.
Okay.
You're racing for a championship. Oh.
Because, I mean, if you want to race any, you can race Sonoma. But you're racing
for... I really like road courses.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I like that they mix it up, yeah. But I like NASCAR for what it is. Mm. You are top four against Harvick, Kyle Busch, and JJ in his last year. Oh my God. You guys are running 1, 2, 3, 4. And you are in your 2020 Camry with Clayton Hughes as your spotter.
Stage winner. Double D.
The DD.
For the 15th time this year, stage winner.
DD.
DD. Oh, man. I would take that over.
All right.
Over doing the Baja.
Over the Baja, over the pre-runner.
If I was in the Champ 4 against the Big 3, or like if MTJ was there or something.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if Kyle Busch is there, you're taking it. Because you want to beat Kyle Busch.
I love Kyle Busch.
I know you do.
I'd love to
beat him. But you would beat him.
How cool would that be to beat your hero?
I feel like it'd be the weirdest.
It would be the weirdest thing. Because like,
you've looked up to him for so long and like, you beat him.
I love you, man, but I beat you.
But also, I'm better than you now. So,
but then again, it's
just, but it's one race.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I'd
take it. Comes down to strategy.
Yeah. And or not getting wrecked by not getting wrecked by the six car.
Hey, did you see the poll results?
No.
Oh, Clint Boyer running home with the pole, and yes. Main man JJ taking second at his home track.
No,
at Auto Club Speedway in Northern California,
Los Angeles, huh?
Yeah,
get in there.
He is the winningest driver at that track with six wins. He's going for seven. He's starting second.
Okay,
but Clint
Boyer,
that Louisiana boy,
that hitter, huh?
He got that pole spot.
Yeah, I would take that. I would take that championship race.
That'd be cool.
That'd be so cool.
I'd love to take a ride in a Cup car one day. Just to see like the fans rip by. Oh,
man. Just... What's the fastest track? Michigan, right?
Without a restrictor plate or with?
Without.
I think it's Michigan.
Because it's faster than restrictor plates. Slightly. Well, very slightly.
Because there's restrictor plates.
Exactly. Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah. Because it's
a mile. Well, I think any. Really.
Michigan's a mile and a half.
Yeah. Any track would be cool.
I think you couldn't beat either Dago or Daytona first race. Like Daytona first race of the year. I don't think you could beat that
with speed energy. Like.
For the 500.
I've been told that a Hutterite man says this. It's all about looking cool.
I don't know which Hutterite man says that, but I ain't
a local.
Him. Oh, he's a local individual. A local yokel.
Yeah. Maybe he's a Haldimon.
Do you know a local yokel?
No.
That was
I've heard it.
Nathan Hebert. That was what he called himself
for a while. Okay.
I don't know if you know Nathan Hebert.
Yeah. Twin River Drywall.
Twin River Drywall. Yeah. Shout out to him. You follow him on the Instagrams and
get
and
some
the
work
Facebooks.
Done,
yeah.
I suppose.
I mean, if you're going to get some drywall done, call me. But he'll tape it.
Okay. Well, should we wrap it up? Shower thoughts.
So. Shower thoughts. Looking forward to the new podcasting equipment.
Okay.
I'm getting excited for that. That kind of makes things, I don't know, makes people feel official. I mentioned it to somebody and they had said, you're getting really official with it. I said, yeah, I guess we're kind of taking it seriously now. Which is funny because this episode was far from serious. Which is good.
No, it was pretty serious though, but it was a little...
But it was laid... I don't know, I wouldn't say
laid
it was
back.
It was
like it was serious as in like it was truthful.
Oh, yeah, that way. But it was Mugs Bannering.
Yeah.
We haven't sat down and wrote out what we're going to talk about
in a minute. A hot minute.
A minute. Excited for new gear. Okay. For hunting season.
Yeah.
That's coming up. Warmer weather's coming. Getting ready for spring bear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hoping somebody's going to take me out.
Wonder who that is.
Yeah, you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, looking forward to spring bear, not taking Tanner out hunting. Looking forward to doing some guiding for spring bear and just really, you know, looking forward to getting out of winter and looking forward to hopefully bringing some fresh, good, kick-ass content. And that's it. Finish your ribbons, kids. Be good to yourselves.